Well, good morning. Are you ready for the word this morning? Amen. How many of you know that this is the day that the Lord has made? So he gives us some instructions here. He says, let us rejoice and be glad in it. Amen? So whether you feel like it or not, you know, it's time to put on a glad, happy face. Right? Come on. Come on. And continue to praise the Lord. I mean, we praise him first when we were doing praise and worship, and then we praise him when we were taking the offering, right? Amen? How many of you know the offering is worship? And now we're going to praise him by receiving from his word. Amen? Amen. How many of you have realized the fact that even though maybe you've been saved and been a Christian for a number of years, there's still just a few things that you could stand to learn? Well, good. I'm glad there's some of you. And I'm going to deviate from our series this morning of what is a Christian, because I want to be obedient to the Lord and what he says and what he said to me to give to you. And I believe the message that he spoke to me to give to you this morning is what I'm going to give you. And it isn't a real long message, and that's not because of the business meeting, okay? It's just not a long message. And it certainly isn't a message that has this great theological value to it, nor is it something that you probably haven't heard before. In fact, I think that when I read the text for today's message, you'll say, yeah, that sounds pretty familiar. I think I've read that before. I think that's going to happen. But I think you'll find that the message for today is very practical, okay, and it's very usable in your everyday life if you apply it. Amen, if you apply it. But that's the trick, isn't it? That's the trick, you know. And that's the way that it just plain is for any bit of God's word, isn't it? I mean, it's wonderful, and it has the ability to give us this abundant life and this blessed life, but we have to take the time to apply it. Amen? We have to be what the Bible says, doers of the work and not hearers only. Would you stand, please, and we will repeat our Bible declaration together. Now, understand something here this morning, okay? I know this is like touching the Holy Grail, but there's going to be some changes at the end, okay? Yeah, I know. Changes? So you can let me, at the end, finish it, okay? Say it after me instead of with me. Are you ready? All right. All right. I see you already have your Bible held up. I don't have to tell you that. Boy, check that out. Huh? All right, let's go. This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I have what it says I have. I can do what it says I can do. Today, I will be taught the Word of God. I'll boldly confess. My mind is alert. My heart is receptive. I'm about to receive the incorruptible, indestructible, ever-living seed of the Word of God. I'll never be the same. In Jesus' name. I'll never be the same. I believe it. And I receive it. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Now you can be seated. Now I expect you to know that next week. All right? As we get started this morning, I have some questions for you to think about, like this one. When was the last time you really drew near to the Lord in prayer and asked him to give you the wisdom that you need for the situation that you are facing at that moment? You're going through stuff, and when was the last time you really went before the Lord and asked him for the answer to what's happening? And this is really a bigger question. Have you become so busy that you often forget to seek God in your everyday life? And I'm not talking about your prayer time, okay? You can have your prayer time, but it's in the morning. But I'm talking about in that time between you say amen and you lay your head down on your pillow. Do you seek him in that time? Or do you only seek him in your allotted time that you have given him? Okay. And what do you think would happen if you included God and the Word of God in your daily decision-making? Huh? What do you think would happen? So I'm just going to give you the title for the sermon today, and it is Just Ask. Say, Just Ask.
Just Ask.
Just Ask. Okay. Gary, would you come up and pray for the message, please?
Let's pray. Thank you, Lord. God, thank you for today. Thank you that we can be here, God, that we can gather in your name. Father, I thank you that you're going to change our lives today with your word. Father, I think of for such a time as this, God, for such a time as this. Lord, I thank you for Pastor Wes. I thank you that he seeks you, God. I thank you that he hears you, Lord, and that Father, he speaks into our lives with your word, God. Father, speak into our lives today. Let us be hearers and doers. God, hearers and doers. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Excuse me. Thank you, Gary. All right. Amen. Amen. How many of you know that prayer is productive? Amen. Prayer is productive. Prayer has many functions, the first of which is this. Number one, prayer is the only way, say it's the only way, it's the only way that you will ever foster a relationship with God. All right? It's the only way. You can read his word, but if you don't pray with that, you won't foster a relationship. And in fact, I would even say, you can pray and not read his word, and it won't work either. You have to do both of them, all right? But secondly, prayer will bring you peace when your life is in upheaval. Have you ever had your life in upheaval? Yeah, I know I have. Number three, prayer produces the promises that we so desperately cling to. And then four, prayer solves problems. And you might say to me, how does prayer solve problems? And it's like this, okay? Because when you have situations, God has solutions. Oh, come on. When you have situations, God has solutions. And the only way, again, say the only way, the only way that you can receive those solutions is in prayer. Leonard Ravenhill, I don't know if you've heard of him or not, but if you haven't, you should read some of his books. You can't get out of those books without crying. I'm even thinking about it now, over the conviction that comes. But Leonard Ravenhill was both a pastor and a prophet and an author. He said this, and it was so powerful. And again, I mean it, you should read his books. No man or woman is greater than their prayer life. The pastor who is not praying is playing. Here we go, that's why he always gets me. The people who are not praying are straying. We have many organizers but few agonizers. Many players but few prayers. Many singers but few clingers. Lots of pastors but few wrestlers. Many fears, but few tears. Much fashion and little passion. Many interferers, but few intercessors. Many writers, but few fighters. If we fail in prayer, we fail everywhere. All right? Let me say that last line again. If we fail in prayer, we fail everywhere. Please turn with me to the book of James, to chapter 1 and verse 5. James chapter 1, verse 5. Are you ready? James says this, okay? He says, if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and what? It will be given him. So let me ask you another question. Has there ever been a time in your life when you needed the answers for your problem or your problems? Some of us have more than just one problem, okay? Some of us just plain have problems, all right? Anyway, the problems that you were facing, but it seemed you just plain could not come up with the right solution. You ever have that happen to you? You know, try as you might to figure things out, it just seems like the solution to your problem is just eluding you. Well, I got good news for you this morning. In James 1:5, God has made a promise to you and I. This is one of those promises we should grab a hold of, okay? That if we will go to him and ask him when we need wisdom and just ask, say just ask, and he will give us the wisdom that we need. That's a guaranteed promise, okay? Listen, I know there are times where I don't think I've ever thought this, but I've heard people say it, okay? But there's times when we think that God isn't really interested in what's going on in our lives. That's not true, okay? Or maybe even that you shouldn't bother God with your problems, right? You shouldn't. But that isn't what he's telling us in James. That's the opposite of what he's telling us in James. God is saying, if you have ever faced a time when you lacked wisdom about how to pay your bills, all right? Or you lacked wisdom about how to deal with debt, or wisdom about how to reverse a decline that you were experiencing in your business, if you're a business owner. Or wisdom about how to resolve challenges with your children. Come on. Now, my daughter's sitting back there thinking, I'm the only one. Maybe you need wisdom about how to fix things between you and your spouse. Or wisdom about how to get along with your boss or your fellow employees. Wisdom about breaking bondages and addictions in your life. Come on, people. Wisdom about how to make key decisions that affect your future. Well, then the word lack in James 1:5 describes you perfectly, all right? Because the word lack is translated from the word lipo, okay? Okay, now that's not when you get lipo on your legs, okay? Lipo. And it pictures a deficit of some kind. In today's language, we might call a deficit a shortfall, okay? Or a shortage, or a scarcity, even a deficiency. For instance, we often speak of a shortfall in our finances, and I think we've all been there. Amen? You know, and you should know this, or you might know this. You're paying the bills, right? And the money runs out before the bills run out. That's not fun, okay? That's not fun. And when you experience such a financial shortfall in your life, it greatly impairs your ability to just plain live. Or think of this. When a city experiences an electrical blackout, they experience a what? A shortage of power, right? Shortage of electrical power. And this kind of shortage paralyzes the whole city and has a huge negative effect on people's lives. This is the kind of scarcities or the kinds of deficits that could be described by the Greek word lipo, which is translated lack in James 1:5. But the lack that James is referring to here isn't like to the lack of having enough sugar or not having enough flour, eggs, or butter, or milk, or even I don't have enough gas. Okay, he's not talking about that. James is talking about if any of us lacks wisdom, okay? If any of us lacks wisdom, how many of you have had times in your life where you just wish you had the wisdom to get through the day? Amen? Amen. Well, that's what James is talking about here. The lack of wisdom is the most devastating kind of deficit a person can face. Why? Because wisdom has the answers and solutions and the principles that are needed to reverse any situation you might find yourself in and turn it around for the better. You see, someone is at a great disadvantage when they're void of wisdom. the kind of wisdom that's needed when it comes to how to pay their bills or conquer their debt, okay, or how to reverse the decline in their business. We, you know, and on and on, as I spoke earlier. But we definitely all need the wisdom that's needed on how to make decisions for our future, right? I mean, it takes wisdom to choose the right thing. It takes maturity to choose the right thing. You might think you know what you're going to choose to do the rest of your life when you're 16, but guess what? That isn't always exactly what you're going to do. I know it, because I'd probably be flying airplanes. No, I'd probably be retired right now in the Caribbean with my lovely wife. Never mind. The Bible says, okay, in Proverbs 4:7, very simply, wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom. I mean, it can't get any clearer than that, right? You know, wisdom is a principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom. I mean, what's the matter with you, right? But then you can say, well, how do I get it? You just ask, okay? You just ask. When someone lacks wisdom of any kind, it nearly paralyzes them because they just don't know what to do. I mean, you think about it. Have you ever been there where you've said, I just don't know what to do? I mean, I just don't know what to do. Well, you're in a great place because all you have to do is just ask. Amen? If you're a Christian. I don't go with that idea that if you try to grab the promises of God, you'll get the same result if you're a non-Christian. Or that if you're a non-Christian and you tithe because it's a principle that gives money back to you. No. You know, God says in his word, how dare you take up my laws in your mouth? You know, how dare you? But you know, we're Christians, right? Yeah. Raise our hands. Let's see. Are we all Christians? I won't say some didn't raise their hands, okay? But you just have to ask. When James says this, when he says, if any of you lack wisdom, the word wisdom is the Greek word sophias, okay? Sophias. And sophias could describe enlightenment or insight or even a special insight into something. Let me tell you something about wisdom. And maybe this is my opinion, okay? But it's mine and I'm going to stick with it, all right? You don't have to agree with it. But just because someone has a college degree, just because someone has a college degree and has gone to college for all kinds of years, many years, it doesn't guarantee that they have or possess wisdom. Amen? It doesn't. So even though the college graduate, is an intellectually bright, you know, just seems to know everything, and has diplomas hanging all over the walls of their homes and their offices, the truth is, a piece of paper, once again, doesn't guarantee that they are wise, okay? Why? Because wisdom comes from God. Amen? Remember, it's the chief thing. It's the principal thing. So get it. How do I get it? Just ask. I mean, it's that easy. Okay, on the other hand, there's a lot of down-to-earth people who have never had the privilege of going to college, all right? Who possess so much wisdom that they've become very successful in life. Amen? It's true. You can't learn wisdom. And I'm not saying that education isn't important, because it definitely is. I mean, I would encourage my kids and have encouraged my kids to get to college, because you aren't going to get a good job unless you've been to college. I can't believe, you know, you have to have a college degree to work at Disney now? Okay. Just thought you'd like to know that. But I think what you need to understand is that having an education doesn't give you wisdom. It's not the equivalent of having wisdom, okay? Education gives you information, all right? But wisdom gives you the solution. It does. It gives you the solution. Wisdom gives you that special insight, and it contains the principles that you need to get out of the baffling battle that you might be going through. You know, we as Christians, we battle things. We battle our flesh a lot of the time. But we wrestle not against flesh and blood, right? But against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this age, against spiritual wickedness. This is scary. Against spiritual wickedness in heavenly places. We battle. And there's times when everything we've learned, everything we've ever gone through is nothing compared to what I'm going through right now, and I don't know how to do it. Just ask. That's what the Bible says. Are you with me this morning? I mean, wisdom guides you to do what is right, okay? Right for you and right for the situation. Maybe you're experiencing a time in your life, and maybe it's right now, okay? And maybe it's this morning, where you need wisdom about a situation. Let me ask you this. Even though you've studied and tried to find solutions on your own, have those solutions been evading you? You just can't find the right thing to do. If so, it's time that you get a good dose of wisdom from on high. And how do you get that? Okay, I've talked to three people so far. How do I get that? We just ask. Just ask. That's why James says, if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask. Okay? Let him ask of God. The word ask is the Greek word aiteho, and we've heard that Greek word before. It's one of the words for prayer. Okay, one of the words for prayer that's kind of controversial because it's a kind of a demanding on God. But really what it is, it's a respectful declaration of you saying that you believe what he said in his word. So you expect to get it. Okay? All right. But the word aiteho means to be adamant in asking and adamant in demanding the assistance that you need. The word aiteho also expresses the idea that the one asking, now hear this, that the one asking, I don't know why you'd ask if you didn't believe it, but that the one asking has a full expectation to receive that what has been firmly requested. That's why we pray, isn't it? I mean, if we didn't think it was going to happen, why are we praying about it? But that's why we pray. A full expectation of claiming this, okay, and I've gotten a hold of this so much since last summer in confessing this. Why? I'm the healed of the Lord. Amen. I'm the healed of the Lord because the Bible says so. All right, because the Bible says so. Oh, Pastor Wes, that just sounds like that hyper faith, and I don't want to be guilty of having hyper faith. Not me. Not going to do it. Well, guess what? The Bible says in Isaiah 53:5. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And read this with me. And by his stripes we are healed. And you can say, oh, well, Pastor West, that's Old Testament. Yeah, what are you doing claiming the Old Testament? Something wrong with you? Yeah, there probably is something wrong with me. Okay. Then if you say that, we'll just go to the New Testament, okay? In 1 Peter 2:23. And it's going to be driven home harder even by this, okay? Who himself, meaning Jesus, bore our sins in his own body on the tree that we, having died to sins, might live for righteousness. Get ready for this. By whose stripes you were, what? By his stripes you were. That means I am. Come on, people. The front row agrees with me. You know, by whose stripes you were healed. Past tense. You were healed. All right. Now, I understand. I understand the flesh that gets into that, and I understand the symptoms that still seem to come, and I understand maybe even the hopelessness that you can find yourself in. But I want you to know this. You know, by claiming that you are the healed of the Lord, you're just making a statement to God. I believe your promises, okay? I believe your promises. I stand on every one of your promises. And so you know what? By your stripes, I have been healed. Amen. It's past tense. And, you know, and really, all of us Christians, we have to get to the place where, and I know you've heard this before, if he said it, then I believe it, and that settles it. Well, I know the Bible says I'm healed. Well, then good, you know it. You know, because anything past that is a declaration of not believing. Do you understand? And again, I'm not talking in this strange hyper-faith type of thing. I'm talking about just declaring what it already says in God's word. That's not hyper-faith. That's just plain faith. Okay? Oh, come on. Yeah, I know people that are sick too. I happen to could be, maybe, I'm not going to say that because I'm the healed of the Lord. But I know what it says in God's word. And I know what we give up by not quoting God's word, not saying God's word, not using God's words in every situation of our life. You know, I was reading, here we go. I was reading this week in Matthew where it said, seek and you shall find. And I was just struck. You know, I'm not expecting it. I'm just sitting back there half asleep reading my Bible, you know. And it was like the Lord said to me, do you really think you're seeking? I'm going, well, I read your word every day. And, you know, I preach, so I must be seeking. You know, you can pray and you can read and you can do a lot of things and never seek once. What does seeking mean? It seeks, I want to know God. Yes. And in some ways, I thought I knew God. Yes. And maybe that was wrong of me to think that. I don't know, but it was like he was saying to me, maybe things aren't as you think they are. Seek. Seek. It's so important. And for me this week, it was so convicting. So you have any idea where I was here in this? When James tells us to ask God for wisdom when we need it, okay? The Greek tense used in this verse is a command. Okay, I love Greek because it does things that English can't do, okay? And really the tense that they use in this verse means that it's a command. So this plainly means that God is not suggesting that we come to him for wisdom. Okay? He's actually commanding us to do so. If you ever thought in your mind for 1 minute that God's too busy, God's not interested, God doesn't love me that much, let me tell you, he's commanding you to come to him for wisdom. Commanding you. Do you get that? Do you understand that? It's like, I don't think I'm going to ask my people to do it. I'm going to tell them to do it. I don't know about you, but when God out and out tells us something to do, we should all do it. Just do it. God isn't suggesting that we come to him for wisdom. He's actually commanding that we come to him for wisdom. When you put all of these words that we spoke of together in one phrase, it could be translated in this manner. It could be, if anyone lacks insight, let them firmly request it. If anyone has shortage of wisdom, they should respectfully expect it. If anyone is baffled and doesn't know what to do, they should be bold and ask for it. Okay? And I know I usually do that at the end of the message, but it's not. Okay? You see, God wants us to get to the place where we come to him for wisdom first, instead of trying to figure things out all on our own, okay? Instead of relying on your education and your experience, I think sometimes our experience is one of the biggest things that hurts us because we expect God's going to do it the same way, but he doesn't do it the same way. There's many times I've thought, got that one. Didn't have that one. You know why? Because he did it differently. He did it differently. But he wants us to come to him right away, first, okay? As a child of God, you have a right to request. Say, I have the right to request. You have the right to request wisdom from God when you need it. So rather than continue to struggle in your own strength, okay, why don't you go to God and just ask? Say, just ask. Just ask him to give you the necessary wisdom you need to conquer the situation you're facing in your life right now. Do you want to stay there longer than you need to? Then you know what you need to do?
Just ask.
Just ask. You see, and I think some of us have a real problem understanding the idea that we have every right to ask God. Why do we have every right to ask God? Because he's commanded us to do it. So we're just being obedient. People have a hard time with understanding ahiteho, that you can actually demand something from God. But understand, it's not a demand like you and I know, okay? It's knowing what his word says and expecting that he is a God that he says he is, and he will fulfill the promises that he gives. Amen? And there's a big difference between going disrespectfully before God and telling him what he's going to do and standing on his word, okay? Standing on his word and making something happen. We have every right to ask him for wisdom. Every right. Why don't you stand with me? I have a declaration for us to make, okay? It's only three short declarations, but I believe we should say this, that we should boldly declare this, okay, because we believe it. Do you believe in the Word of God this morning? Do you believe that there are places that doesn't apply to today?
No.
No. Just as long as we're clear on that, okay? Now repeat this after me, not with me, because it really does sound like if you try to repeat it with me. But just do it after me, okay?
I boldly declare,
that's everybody. I boldly declare
that I will go to the Father
when I need wisdom. Because he has the answers to all my problems. I boldly declare. God is ready to help me. With wisdom. In my time of need. Now say this like you mean it. God is on my side. I boldly declare. God wants me to succeed. And his wisdom is what I need. I declare this by faith in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
And amen. Why don't you give the Lord some praise this morning? No, I just preached a great promise. You know what? Really, that's a great promise. But you know, if you go home and you never think about this again, and you never apply this in the time that you need it, you know what? It's not going to be so great, because you have to apply what you've heard. And I wish that I could say that I've applied every message I've heard or even preached, because then I don't think the Lord would be asking me if I'm really seeking, okay? But I think it's so important that we understand, whether it's a short message or a long message, whether it's, you know, really, really getting to us because it's so theologically sound, no matter what it is, we still need to apply it. Or not only have I wasted my time, but I guess so have you. Ooh. Do you really say that? Yeah, I might not be in a real good mood. No. Just like Gary prayed this morning, I pray that we would be doers of the word and not hearers only. And you know what it goes on to say? Thereby deceiving myself. You know, you're just deceiving yourself. If you think that you can be a hearer and not a doer and have things work out the same. What's the doing part of this message? Just ask. Just ask. And just hear me just for a minute more. There's been times people come in my office and they don't know what to do. And it's almost not even my business to tell them. But I'll say to them, if you ask God, you know, and they can't say yes because they haven't. Try not to be among those that don't ask, okay? God has so much for us if we just ask. Amen? Just ask. All right. So bow your heads for a moment. Lord, I pray that this word, God, that you gave me out of the ordinary for today, God, I pray that we as a people would grab a hold of it. I pray that we would take advantage of what you have told us, commanded us even to do. And I pray that we would be among the people that would just ask. Just ask. When you need wisdom. Thank you, Lord.